It's time for the Fantasy Football Guys.
You'd think.
Hair on the ass of conventional fantasy football wisdom. Here they are. Lyle Conkeel and Kevin Moore, the Fantasy Football Guys.
Yes, indeed. We are the Fantasy Football Guys. Kevin?
Lyle.
The hair on the ass.
Are we really, though? I mean, we are the victors in the Blog Talk Radio Experts League. So.
That's true. So maybe we're not the hair on the ass.
I don't know. I kind of think that
maybe we're just the ass.
Maybe we are conventional fantasy football wisdom.
I don't think so, man. Because other people still say draft Gronk in the first round.
I guess that's conventional. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So if that's conventional,
I was confusing conventional with successful
or smart.
Right. Intelligent. We're just not dumb.
Yeah, that's a problem. That's a problem. Now,
20 seconds in the show, we're already insulting everybody.
Yeah, we're not. Well, I'm not trying to say that anyway. Perhaps Lyle.
I'm just kidding. Not everybody's stupid.
You don't know who
just
you are.
Just most of you.
Yeah. Everybody but one of you.
Yeah. And you that's listening that says it's not me, you're right. It's not you.
Yeah. Anyway, so coming up later on, Liz Loser from Yahoo Fantasy Sports will be along to talk picks from last week.
I would like to talk about those.
Lyle had a day.
I had myself a day, sir.
He had himself a good day.
Yeah.
Liz and I,
it was okay.
Did all right.
You were fitty-fitty.
Yeah, we did half up, half down.
Yeah.
You know. I came real close on catching that over, but I didn't.
Yeah, close.
Close doesn't work.
Doesn't really work.
Yeah, unless you...
I actually should. It was the only time I actually should have bet.
Well, yeah, you never know when that's going to happen.
No, but I would have done extremely well, obviously.
You would have done well.
Yeah, I got one wrong. So,
yeah. So you know, like Friday evening, right? The bookie service I use, who has advertised with us, starts ringing my phone, like, you going to get some bets in? I'm like, nah. Are you sure?
Oh, really? They're calling you?
Oh, yeah. They call me. I'm like,
wow.
Yeah, you need to.
How much are you gambling, bro?
No, not really. Not much. Not much.
Do I need to do an intervention?
No,
please,
dude.
Please let me do an intervention.
No intervention necessary. I haven't placed a bet since like week three. You know?
You should have put a bet in. I mean, you know.
Should have been betting the Eagles. Who knew?
You should have been.
Who knew?
Every freaking week.
I'll bet them next year, and they'll go, you know, 4-12.
That's a mistake, yeah. Don't you dare curse them.
Yeah, that would be bad. And that's why I stopped betting them, because, you know, I won 2 out of 3, and I'm like,
let me count my cash.
Yeah, let me just get the hell out of here. And then I bought Bitcoin right before it crashed.
That's good, too.
So I'm right on top of that. Yeah. I bought it, my son Robbie's like, Dad, I've made like 30% in 3 days. I'm like, ah, shit, I got to get in now, right? Yeah. I bought it, and literally the next morning I lost $100.
So
my purchase crashed Bitcoin.
Yes. Well, it's just the dark cloud that follows you around.
Yeah. You know. I'm usually pretty lucky on stuff like that. So I'm in for the long haul. Let it bust up, you know, to 1,000, then I'll jump.
Yeah, I'm going to wait till it really tanks again, and then I'm going to buy back in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see how that works out. So, anyway, obviously we have 4 games this weekend we're going to talk about. Liz will be calling in. But right now, let's talk about some news. And when you're talking about these 4 games, you have to talk about injuries because they have such a huge impact on the way these things go.
Huge.
Before we do that, though, I got to do this other thing.
Oh, yeah. Why don't we do that?
We have to ring the cash register, as they used to say in the old radio days.
A ching ching.
That's right.
Sorry, guys. Little housekeeping.
Something like that. Here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
Hey, it's that time of year again. Time to make resolutions. So whether you use let me start again. It's that time of year again. Time to make resolutions. So whether you've resolved to save money this year.
Harry's can save you about $100 over a year if you are a frequent shaver.
Or if you resolve to take better physical care of yourself.
Harry's products have won a bunch of grooming awards and they'll keep you looking and feeling great.
Harry's is all about a great shave at a great price.
Harry stripped out the unnecessary features like vibrating handles, heating blades, 15 lubricated strips. Etc., as well as the unnecessary cost to deliver a perfect razor at an amazing price.
So whether you like Harry's for the five German blades and single lubricating strip like me,
or that ergonomical handle like me,
you can be like one of the 3 million guys that have switched to Harry's.
Harry's is so confident you're going to love their blades, they'll give you a trial shave set for free.
Nice.
When you sign up at harrys.com/ffguys. All you got to do is pay for shipping.
So the free trial set includes a weighted ergonomical handle, like Lyle says, razor handle, five precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip, and that trimmer blade I like so much, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover.
Go to harrys.com/ffguys. That's harrys.com/ffguys.
There you go.
I used Harry's today, bro.
So did I.
Yeah.
I hit the, see, I've got the full squirrel on now.
So, I trimmed mine up. You guys would be shocked if you saw me on the
video.
Yeah,
Lyle almost looks employable.
Well, that's the idea. Yeah, so I went close. I went with a four on the beard.
And then trimmed up the cheeks and the stem.
And then, yeah.
The shaft, as it were.
Right.
Yeah. And so I just hit the neck.
One with a razor cut on the dome, too. So yeah. I'm not looking like a hippie anymore.
Wow. That's nice. Not like a hipster.
Yeah, well, I guess that is a hipster now.
Kind of.
Used to be homeless, now it's hipster. Yeah, but my daughter actually looked at me and went, as soon as she came in the door, Evie, she's 7 years old. She'll be eight tomorrow.
Happy birthday,
Happy
Evie.
Happy birthday, baby. She walked in the door and she put her hand on my face and she said, I miss the old you. Like, it was the first thing she said. She'd seen me that morning, and I had a big beard, and then I shaved it, and, you know, went and got my hair cut. She didn't know.
Right.
First thing she said, I miss the old you.
Little does she know you're the same schmuck you were that morning.
Right.
The
facial
hair, schmuck.
Not relevant.
Correct. Hey, Kyle Rudolph practicing in full. We all know about that ankle. He suffered the sprained one, you know, from last week. Apparently practicing in full, Kyle Rudolph.
Not last week.
Yeah, right. So
would have been the week before that.
Rex Burkhead remains in a brace. So, yeah.
Not going to matter.
Dude hasn't played since week 15, limited in practice with that knee. He's still sporting that brace and, quote, still couldn't do all the stretches with his left leg. So guess what? Looks like Deion Lewis is going to be the divisional round playoff workhorse from the Patriots backfield.
Not bad news.
Well, he's been doing well. Antonio Brown practicing in full. Good news
really good news.
The Steelers. Bad news, of course, for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't know, though.
Yeah, we'll see.
You know, Jacksonville lit him up for five interceptions last time, right?
We'll see.
Yeah. Anyway, so that calf is better. Full practice today. DeMarco Murray and his knee ruled out of the divisional round.
I'm so excited.
I'm kind of thinking it had a little something to do with how well Derrick Henry did.
I'm so excited because I have Derrick Henry in the Dynasty League.
Oh, yeah.
And finally, I believe that next season, finally, he'll be a workhorse back. And
you know what? Mark my words.
He's going to run for 1,500.
You know what would make me really happy? If...
I'm going to throw something at you.
If Carolina cut loose Jonathan Stewart and the Titans picked him up.
That would be
hysterical.
It would be hilarious. Yeah.
Charles Johnson, only notable and active for the contest coming up. What am I talking about? That's old news.
Yeah, what's that?
I got to refresh this.
Julio's mispracticed on Tuesday.
Marquise Lee. Rolling. Let's see what else we got here.
Jay Ajayi, you got, I don't know. Any of this matter? You know.
So really.
There's not a lot.
Not a lot of news going on here. You'd think there'd be some. I guess we could talk about Gruden. John Gruden paid a king's ransom to go coach football in Oakland for a while and then into Las Vegas for a little while. Dude, the thing is, he's sitting in the catbird seat because really, if he's an NFL coach and gets fired, and goes to another NFL coaching job, the old contract is null generally. Right. But if he goes out and goes back into TV, they're going to pay him. There's almost like a Bobby Bonilla contract.
Yeah. So,
you familiar with that contract?
I am familiar with it. So what's awesome, by the way, people don't remember back in the day with Pittsburgh or. Yeah, the Pittsburgh Pirates. It was Bonilla and Bonds.
Yeah,
it was
Bobby
Bonilla and Barry Bonds, the Killer Bees.
Yep.
And they even had a yellow striped uniform they would wear sometimes. Yeah.
It was awful.
It was terrible, yeah. But, dude, Bonilla was amazing,
right
too.
Right field, left field.
Yeah, man. They were awesome. Anyway.
So anyway, if people don't know, basically the way that the Mets got rid of Bobby Bonilla was they agreed to pay him like $1.19 million a year until like 2035 or something like that.
Yeah.
So he's going to be getting – he's just sitting around who
knows
what.
Collecting money.
You know? Just getting paid over $1 million a year to not play baseball.
Boats
and he's
hose,
like
baby.
My age now, I
Boats
think.
Boats and hoes.
Boats and hoes. Coke and hookers. That's all we're looking at.
But the interesting thing is, so first of all, people were annoyed by Gruden on Monday Night Football. I didn't mind him at all.
No, I didn't mind him.
Yeah, I thought his enthusiasm I enjoyed. The way he talked about the quarterback position I really enjoyed. Obviously, he knows offenses extremely well.
Right, and so, conversely, you know, how to play defenses.
Sure, so. But obviously, you know, I wouldn't call him a defensive mind. He's an offensive-minded guy.
Obviously, yeah.
But I'm excited about his opportunity back with the Raiders, man. I mean, they don't have a bad football team.
They don't. And, you know, right? A lot of the criticism about him was that, you know, he won the Super Bowl with Tony Dungy's team.
Right.
My response to that is this. In that Super Bowl, his team was both teams.
Yeah.
He brought the Raiders up to the point where they were Super Bowl contenders and then left.
Yeah.
Got traded, basically. So his team represented the AFC, and the team that he took over in Tampa was previously coached by Tony Dungy that had been a championship team for years. He just couldn't close the deal.
Right.
So basically, Gruden's fingerprints were all over that Super Bowl.
Gruden's a great coach.
Yeah.
By the way, Eagle.
Former Eagle. So, yeah, I think that he's and another criticism of him in the booth is that he didn't really say anything bad about anybody. But that's, you know,
that's
being negative.
Man.
Yeah, I mean, as a color guy, you're not supposed to be a negative. If you're on NFL Network, you know,
I mean,
talking
he would say,
head,
say,
yeah.
say, you know, oh, you know, needs to do a better job there.
Right.
Yeah.
That's not really being negative. That's just being obvious.
Yeah, but, dude, I don't know. You can't have Chris Collinsworth in a booth and then say anyone else is bad.
That's true.
Right. Because
Phil Sims still has a job.
Yeah. Yeah. So shut up. Now, I mean, thank God they got rid of Emmitt Smith.
Oh, that was terrible.
Oh, man.
But you know what? I loved his broadcast, though, because I love how he slaughtered the language.
Dude, he barely spoke English.
By the way, best lines I heard about this last week's game that he called, which was, I guess, the Bills Jacksonville.
Who called?
Tony Romo, sorry.
Okay.
We jumped over to him. But one of the
we
best
didn't talk about Romo at all, but okay.
I know, but I'm going there now.
Okay.
One of the best lines I heard at the Jacksonville-Buffalo Bills game, that the best quarterback in the building was in the booth.
Oh.
Yeah, dude.
It's true. Yeah.
You know, so.
It is true.
And I think, I hate Tony Romo as a Cowboy, but dude, I love the games and the way he calls them.
Sure. Yeah, he's not bad.
Enthusiasm, you know, he kind of calls
it. Kind of like Aikman.
Watch this guy. Well, Aikman sucks, but, you know, he's like, watch this.
Aikman's fine.
Aikman sucks.
You just see, that's bitter Cowboy stuff.
It's not, dude. As a person who has been a professional broadcaster from 18 years old, I hate the way he speaks. He ends.
What about Joe Buck, then? You like him?
He's at least pro. I don't like him in his personality, but the way he delivers
so
and speaks.
So phony.
Aikman ends every single sentence with the word "and," so that it'll lead into the next stupid thing he's about to say. Listen to him; he'll go. He hit that hole. And
now I'm never not going to hear that.
You'll never not hear it, but I've never not been able to hear it since he got into the booth.
Damn it, Kevin!
Right, but Romo on the other hand,
I don't mind Aikman. I really don't. I don't. Okay. I like Moose Johnson, too.
You'll hate him now. I like Moose Johnson. You'll hate him now when you hear "and" at the end of every
it's
sentence.
Really, Collinsworth is really, you know, him and Dennis Miller. When Dennis Miller did Monday Night Football, that was an abomination.
It was not good.
Yeah.
And I like Dennis Miller.
I like him, too. Just didn't belong in the football.
I liked his stand-up. I liked him on SNL.
Yeah.
I've listened to his radio show a couple times. It's almost unlistenable, sure. But I like him.
Okay.
Yeah, it's he's...
Anyway,
kind of weird. Anyway.
We digress. Sorry, we digest.
We digest,
as others would say.
So I was looking to see if any other coaches have been hired, because I did see that. The Seahawks fired Coach Daryl Bevel.
Apparently, there's
and Cable, Tom Cable.
Yeah, apparently there's going to be a parade.
Yeah, I guess.
So we will definitely have someone else calling the plays next year.
Yeah, that'll be.
You know what I mean? Weird. Like
Matt Nagy from the Chiefs. Hmm. Now the coach of the Bears.
Hmm. I don't know how I feel about that, man.
You know, usually, you know, the thing is, and you see what happens with Sean McVay. He's the young coach with fresh ideas. Mm-hmm. One of those happened.
Yeah.
Okay. So now everybody's like, we got to get the fresh young coach with new ideas and the brilliant offensive mind and bring him in. He's going to turn our offense around. Okay. So it happened with Sean McVay. And I don't know, you know, I think Nagy's a good coach, but I don't know that he's Sean McVay.
Correct.
So I think that's the whole trend of let's get the young guy, and you know, Nagy's like 39, I think. This is young enough. Well, let's get the young guy in here with these fresh ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it worked in L.A. Let's see if it's going to work in Chicago.
Right.
Because we have a young quarterback, too, and maybe he can be the whisperer that we need. Who knows?
So I think the real interesting question is, talking about KC and young quarterbacks and stuff, is what happens with Alex Smith? Because I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of teams. I thought about this good and long and hard. I was in the restroom. I'm kidding. And it scares me a little bit if the Baltimore Ravens would just divorce themselves from Joe Flacco.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I know, but hear me out. Go out and get themselves an Alex Smith. Tell me they're not terrifying at that point. With that defense, that running attack, and now you have a quarterback that can throw the football and not turn it over.
With some accuracy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're not, you know, it would be scary. I know. They're not going to move on from Flacco yet.
Just work with me here.
Okay, so you want me to do pie in the sky stuff that'll never happen.
Just pretend a second.
So maybe Joe Montana will come back.
All right, I'm throwing stuff at you. It's happening. No, seriously, it probably won't, right? There's a lot of places Alex Smith will more likely land. But I'm just saying, if a guy like that went to the Ravens, they're a shoo-in for the playoffs. I mean, they almost made it
with Flacco, yeah.
And, dude, I don't know. They might be the most terrifying force in the AFC at that point.
Good running game, good defense.
That's what I'm saying.
Decent quarterback. Kind of sounds.
They got receivers.
Kind of sounds like the Saints, dude.
Kind of does.
Kind of does.
I mean, they have talent. Dude, Wallace is really, really good. They have Macklin's really, really good, right? Dude, they have an outstanding running attack and a great defense. What else do you need?
Good quarterback, and Flacco ain't that.
He ain't that. They got to divorce themselves from him.
Yeah. Like I said, though.
They should turn him loose.
They're paying him too much money, and it would cost them too much to get rid of him. And unfortunately,
it costs them a lot more to keep him.
Not
like playoff berths.
That's not inaccurate. Let's see what Liz thinks. Hey, Liz. Oh. What's up?
Hey, Liz.
Hey, guys, how are you? Lyle, congratulations. I hear you're already kicking our butt.
Yes, I had myself a day, Liz. I got lucky. It happens occasionally.
Yeah, because we all saw the Chiefs choking in the second half to the Titans. That was on everybody's radar.
Actually, Liz, you and I picked the Titans.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Missing the Chiefs. If he had picked the Titans, he'd have gone 8-8.
Yeah, I would have went 8-8. All I have was the under on that game.
Oh,
right?
So that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it was a wacky day, and I have to admit, like watching my Rams run out there, I was super excited. But also in my DFS lineup for Wild Card Weekend, I got a lot of flack from people saying like, why? I only had one Ram. My wide receiver too was Cooper Kupp. But I had a lot of Falcons because, as you and I, as all three of us discussed on last week's show, that matchup had the highest over-under. So I wanted to, in terms of DFS, chase those points. But
absolutely.
I had, you know, the Falcons just went to the Super Bowl. Things change in the postseason. I figured there might be some nerves, but I did not figure those nerves would be that intense.
It's a big deal, man. Yeah. And you know, it's something you cannot teach experience. And
let me write that down.
Yeah. Yeah. Write it down, Kevin.
You can't.
This is sage advice.
Experience.
Well, I'm just saying that, you know, every year we get into the playoffs and we see a young team who is clearly better. The Rams are clearly better than the Falcons this year.
Yeah,
clearly.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe they don't have a better running attack. I don't know. We could argue that point.
With the Rams?
Yeah.
They had the best running back in the league.
Well, it's not just Devonta Freeman is my point. It's Tevin Coleman. But everywhere else across the board, they're better. You know what I mean? And they still couldn't get it done.
Yeah. So let's roll through it real quick, and then we can talk about some other things. So it was Titans-Chiefs. Chiefs giving up 9, for God's sake. Liz and I both took the points there. Lyle gave them. It was turned out to be a Titans win, so the 9 didn't mean much. So Liz and I both get a point there. After that, it gets a little dicey for Liz and I, and not so much for Lyle. The over-under was 44, came out to be 43. I had the over. Lyle and Liz both had the under. So after that game, it is Liz 2, Lyle and I both won. So the Falcons-Rams game, Rams were laying 6.5. The Falcons won that game, taking care of that lay. And so Liz had the Rams, I had the Rams, Lyle had the Falcons. Lyle takes the point. The over-under, 48.5. The actual was 39, so the under takes it. Liz and Lyle both had the under, I had the over. Big hole in my day there, kind of sucks. So at the end of that, it was Lyle 3, Liz 3, me 1. Bills-Jags giving 9. They only won by 7. So we all had the Jags. We all took a point there. Lyle and I had the under. Liz had the over. It was the under wins. And then for the Panthers-Saints, the Saints laying 7. Saints actually won by 5. Let me see here. Oh, wait a minute. I might have miscalculated this.
I think you did.
Saints only lost by 5.
They won by 5. Oh, yeah.
They won by 5. Yeah, they won by 5.
I think
5.
I took the Saints.
Right. So Liz wins that. Ooh, I have to recalculate.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are you doing, Kevin?
Not the wrong thing, apparently. This is kind of awesome. I'm excited. Lyle's not doing so well.
I'm still okay.
Yeah, you'll be all right.
As long as I'm at least tied, I'm all right.
All right. So let's see here. Liz gets the point. All right, Liz.
Good Lord, Liz.
It's all good.
Math is, don't bore me.
Math is hard when you get into your 50s.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, you know, can't do math. Just, you know, it's one point here, one point there, but, you know, Kev can't figure it out.
Dude,
it all adds up.
You could always take over this little task if you wanted to.
Why would I do that when I'm watching you struggle?
What a dick.
So where do we end up? Here, Kev?
I'm getting there.
Well,
all right. So, so Liz has 5.
All right.
Lyle has 6.
All right.
And I'm still screwing it. Okay. So, it was a 5-point win by the Saints. So, Liz getting the points wins with the Panthers. Lyle and I lose with the Saints. And the over under was 48.5. Liz and I had the under. Lyle had the over. So Lyle has 6 points, Liz has 5 points, and I have 4 points.
Well, that's, I'll allow it.
So, you know, not.
I'm still in the lead.
Still in the lead. That's okay. So, Liz, Lyle was talking about, you know, the fact that Alex Smith, who just won offensive MVP of his team,
yep,
maybe he's on the trading block. For this coming season, maybe in the offseason, he goes to a team like, you know, Lyle was all excited about.
No, I'm not excited about it. I don't think it'll ever happen. But what I'm saying is, if he went to the Ravens,
yeah,
it would be amazing.
Well, they're talking about maybe Alex Smith gets traded to the Browns.
I know. Yeah. But you know, all I'm saying is, with the team the way that it is right now, if they could let go of Joe Flacco and get themselves a competent quarterback.
Yeah.
They would be instant contenders for the whole shebang, dude. They almost made the playoffs this year. You know? A 4-team tiebreaker?
With that. Like, I hear that. But wasn't this year's Joe Flacco basically every other year's Alex Smith?
No, man.
He wouldn't push the ball. He wasn't pushing the ball downfield, whether it was his back or not. It was tons of, like, short little passes. Danny Woodhead got hurt early, and I think that affected things. Jeremy Maclin disappeared. Part of it was because he was hurt. But
right.
I don't think that Joe Flacco, 2017 Joe Flacco, is that different than 2015 Alex Smith.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with you on that one.
Hmm.
I think Flacco's a terrible quarterback. I think he's a backup. I've always felt that way. He's got a killer arm when he chooses to throw. But that's about it. He's not accurate. He's not careful with the football.
Lyle's always hated Flacco.
Yeah, I'm just not a huge fan. And I think if they had a capable quarterback. The thing is, man, we've seen Alex Smith be capable of taking over a football game.
Right.
Right. He doesn't do it often because he's a game manager. But, man, if they had a guy that could – because they don't have poor talent. You mentioned they have Jeremy Maclin. They have – again, he got hurt and stuff. They have Mike Wallace, right? So these are burners, man.
Right.
You know, they can do some damage. Didn't happen this year. So I'm just saying if they had a guy – it doesn't have to be Alex Smith, but they had a guy who could, you know, add something at the quarterback position – they would be instant contenders for the whole shebang. That's all I'm saying. And Alex Smith apparently is available.
I think it's going to be. I think
he's definitely available.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult to cut him loose, I think. But you know what?
Flacco's got to go, dude.
He does.
He's got to go.
Yeah, I think there's too much money involved.
I don't care about his contract.
I know you don't.
He's not getting it done.
The people who decide those things do, for sure.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah. Anyway, so. We ready to dive into this coming week's action?
I am.
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right. So Mr. Ahead gets to go first. So we have the Atlanta Falcons giving 3.5 points at Philadelphia. So who do you got, Lyle?
What's the over-under?
The over-under is 41.
Woo. Mm. That's actually tough.
Yeah, it is.
All right.
Who are you taking?
Philly, the over.
Philly and the O. I'll go next. I'm also going to take Philly, but I'm going to take the under. I see the defense playing a little action there, and I don't trust Nick Foles to score over 3 touchdowns, so there you go. 21.
Why? He's done it 1 out of 4 games this year.
That's right. And they almost lost that one. So, Liz, who do you got?
I gotta talk this one out. So it's 3.5. Falcons. I mean, I think the Falcons are going to win. It's just Peterson. They're going to rely on the run game. That should be low scoring. They're going to play keep away, right? So, okay. So I'm going to take Philly in the under. I don't think they lose by that much.
Yeah,
I think they keep it fairly close. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that the Eagles lose as well, but not more than a field goal.
Yeah.
21-20 sounds right, but I took the over, and that would be equal, so I'll say 23-21.
Wow. You sure?
Yeah. That'll give me both things. So.
Right, gotcha. Okay, so then we have Tennessee traveling to New England. New England giving a whopping 13.5 points. Over-under is 47.
Do they really need the half after they give you 13? Got to throw the .5 on there.
Do they need 13? Isn't 11 okay?
No.
Like, why do you need 2 more?
I don't know.
2.5 more. So, you know, given all this.
What's the over-under?
The over-under is 47 in a point. So, 47.5 there. So... it's difficult for me to give 13.5 points, but I think the load for the Titans was shot last weekend. I'm going to take New England, and I'm going to take the over. Lees?
I'm going to take New England, and I'm going to take the under because what does Bill Belichick do? Take away the opposing team's number one. I think that's Derrick Henry. Not Marcus Mariota.
Right.
I think Marcus Mariota is going to try to toss it a bunch, and I don't trust his receivers. They haven't been consistent enough. I mean, it's Delaney Walker would be it. So I think he's going to be chasing points, but he's not going to ever catch up.
Yeah, fair enough on that one.
Yeah. I have to take New England, too.
I know it hurts to lay 13.5.
It just doesn't make sense. To lay 13.5 points in an NFL football game, but I think I have to. But I agree with Liz. I'm going to go with the under.
Huh. Okay.
So there's a point you could pick up, Kevin.
Yeah. Might not be so bad there. Yeah, I'm just thinking if you're given 13.5 points, but you're taking the under, so you're really thinking it's going to be a low scoring game.
Kind of.
That's fine. Okay, so you got Jacksonville at Pitt. Pitt only giving up 7 points to the Jaguars, which is kind of odd, figuring, you know, the way those two teams got to this place. But I guess we're hearkening back to the last Jacksonville-Pittsburgh game, so we'll see.
Yeah, what was that, 30 to...
Yeah, it was like...
9?
I can't remember who said it, something, but it was a Jacksonville D-back saying, the last time we played these guys, we picked Roethlisberger 5 times, and he was talking about retirement. If you recall, that's
yes,
true.
Yeah.
It's like, I should have retired. Anyway, so the over-under on this is 41 points. Unfortunately, Liz, you get to go first.
I think the Jacksonville I'm so torn because at the head of the season, I thought, set aside the contest we're in right now. In July, I said that the reason I think Ben Roethlisberger wasn't retiring was because he wanted one more shot to knock off the Pats. And so I still firmly believe that. And in all of my postseason playoff leagues, I've taken a ton of Steelers. But I also feel like Jacksonville is going to upset everyone in this game. So I'm having all the feels. I'm not being particularly decisive in this one. But I am going to take the spread of 7, you said?
It is.
7.5?
7. On the nosy.
Okay, so I'm going to take Jacksonville.
Ooh.
I still think the Steelers win, but I don't think Jacksonville... I think they keep it a little bit closer than that. And so I am going to say Jacksonville and... What is the over under again?
41.5? Just 41.
41. Just 41. And I'm going to go with the under as well.
Okay. Nice. That's you, bro.
Yeah. So, Steelers have only covered 7 points like 3 times a season. 4, maybe. Yeah, 4 times. So I'm going to go with Jacksonville as well.
Nice.
I have to take the under, too.
I think Pittsburgh plays a lot better at home. I really wish this was 6 points because I see this possibly being, Pittsburgh winning in overtime by 6 with no extra point. So I'd really like 6 better. But I'm still going to take Pittsburgh, and I'm going to take the over 41, because 41 is not that many points.
It's not. It's 21-20.
It's 21-20. So I think Pittsburgh is going to be able to do a little bit more of that. I really think it's going to be a Lev Bell type game, because yeah, Jacksonville not so great against the run.
Yeah, people say that.
Well, it's true.
Yeah, it's just...
Marcel Darius. Pretty great. Yeah. I think after he came up flat against the Bills last week, he's going to be real angry.
I think having an Antonio Brown that's back.
That's big. That's
I think
that's
huge.
Huge.
I think having a Juju Smith-Schuster who's a bigger part of the offense now than he was when they played before. It's all coming up Pittsburgh. I think it's going to be Pitt and New England in the championship game. So I'm going.
I hope so.
Yeah. That would be a great AFC championship game. Yeah. So now we have New Orleans at Minnesota. Minnesota laying 4.5 points to the Saints. Lyle, the over-under is 46 points.
46. This one's tough, man.
It is.
Yeah.
Vegas kind of knows what they're doing with these spreads.
They do. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going with the over.
Yeah, I think so.
100%. I'm going with the over. The question is, can New Orleans right the wrongs? Are they a different football team than they were,
last time?
In September.
Yeah.
When they played. I think they are. That was week 3, week 4
of the season. It was pre-Kamara.
Yeah. It was a while ago. I think they are. So I'm going to take the New Orleans Saints, and I'm going to take the over in this football game.
This is tough.
This is the game that bothers me the most.
Yeah, it does.
Because I really don't know. I want to believe in Minnesota, man. I do, but...
Just the way the Saints played this last week?
Plus, you got Drew Brees, right? They showed it. I texted Kevin. You shut him down, you shut him down, you shut him down. Oh, hi, Ted Ginn. Touchdown. Yeah. Right? Drew Brees, just all of a sudden, hey, now you're losing.
All of a sudden,
yeah.
Welcome to losing.
Yeah.
All that being said, I'm going to take Minnesota. Because I think they're really hyped about number one, their run defense is fantastic. I'll be curious to see how it goes against these two great backs for the Saints.
They're not just runners, though.
I understand that, and that's where the problem is going to be. So I'm not overly confident in this pick. I'm certainly going to take the over, but I'm going to take Minnesota and the over. And I could flip-flop between now and Sunday, but...
Liz, what do you think?
I'm definitely taking Minnesota.
Ooh.
I'm taking Minnesota because I love that you mentioned Kamara and Ingram. I think DFS-wise, Ingram is the better buy because, if you notice, they tend to flip-flop. And Carolina sold out to stop the run. Their cornerbacks are not nearly as good as Minnesota's.
That's true.
So if they sell, I mean, I think Linval Joseph might eat a piece of Kamara. And if that happens, then Xavier Rhodes is going to shut down Michael Thomas without a problem. Maybe Peyton is creative enough to, like, dial up some Ted Ginn stuff. But he did that last week. And I don't know if that's, you know, it's not like Ted Ginn is the most consistent wide receiver in football. Plus, there isn't that whole revenge game narrative in there. I think Minnesota is going to take this one and surprise everyone. But I am still, you know what, and I'm going to go with the under because I think Drew Brees' arm also gives out this week.
Ooh.
Wow.
That's bold predictions right there.
That's you lost me there.
The arm that has thrown, what, like 55, 54,000 yards all of a sudden in this game is going to give out?
It's done.
It could happen. I mean, you know.
No, I mean, he's clearly not the same quarterback that he used to be, but he's still real good.
Yeah, he's
the
quarterback.
Still real good, and he's still better than Case Keenum. Yeah. But he's going to get real tired because he's coming off of a game that he had to throw a ton, and he didn't throw nearly. I think he was sixth amongst quarterbacks in terms of attempts on the regular season. So they've clearly been saving him, which is why I think they wanted to have more of a run-first offense because of his advanced age. He's coming off of a big game. He's traveling, albeit in a dome, but still that atmosphere with the soul and everything in Minnesota. I don't know. I think his arm's going to get a little bit tired. It's not. He's going to have to take all of the Monster energy drinks before he takes the field.
His advanced age. He's 38.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I feel
that's
that.
How old you are? To isn't be, it, you think? I'm
40. I'm 41. He will be 39 in all fairness, January 15th. So a couple days.
Well, I feel for Drew because I tried to throw a bottle 10 feet to a
he
trash can, and in my right arm I have a rotator cuff issue I've had for a decade. So I go to throw this, my arm seizes up, and
the worst part,
bottle
is,
travels about 4 feet.
What'd you say? You were like draining it.
I was like balling.
Oh, balling. That's what you said. Balling. And then he threw it. 2 feet left of the trash can. It was so
and about,
bad.
And about 3 feet short.
It was so bad.
So I was the exact opposite of balling.
Yeah. Literally. You look up anti-balling in the dictionary.
Yeah.
It's that. Anyway.
Fun stuff.
So, yeah, I just think that, Liz, you obviously could be 100% correct. And Minnesota has a great football team. And I think that a lot of people are sleeping on them. Because of the history of New Orleans and stuff. But at the same time, man, Drew Brees just has a habit of going, oh, you shut down this, you did that, I'll just throw the football and
Minnesota
people
shuts
catch
down
it.
The run. We're gonna make Drew Brees beat us. Okay.
Yeah, it just happens.
Can
so
do that.
I'm worried about that.
Well, here's the thing that makes me the most. Cam Jordan looked so, I mean, there was some Cam on Cam crying. In that
standard. That's true. I like that. I like that.
And what do you have, like three or four QB hits in the last portion of that game?
Yep.
And I am worried that Cam Jordan should, if I have my other, if the Saints pull this out, it is because Cam Jordan gives Case Keenum a major fit, and Keenum just gets the crazy yips, which would make sense. I mean, it's not like his history in the postseason is that storied or even in existence.
Yeah,
so,
I was going to say, it's not existent so far.
You know,
right.
If Cam Jordan can get up there and take Keenum's grill and Yeah, I think Jerick McKinnon is going to have a lot of fun this game. I think they're going to use him a ton. He's, I think, in Yahoo DFS, by the way, just $4 more.
Yeah, so
than Latavius Murray.
Yeah, you're right. So, I mean, it's a valid point, but, you know, just to play devil's advocate a little bit, people have been trying to do that to Case Keenum all season, and it just hasn't happened. He's been clutch time after time. I know.
That's what we talked about with the Rams.
I know.
You know?
It's a little faster now.
I know, but Keenum's not Jared Goff. He's a little bit more seasoned, maybe an advanced age.
No, Jared Goff has his job now.
That's right.
Case Keenum did so well, they put the kid in midway through the season
last year. That's right. By the way, Case Keenum, 29.
Yeah, he's 29. He's over the hill.
Yeah, he's an advanced age.
All right, Liz, we have a little work to do this week. I'm glad to see that we're all picking Philadelphia, I think we're picking the points more than we are the
I think
team.
We're all taking the points.
Yeah,
I'm taking the points. I'm going to the game. I hope they win. It'll be amazing if they do. I'd love to go to an NFC Championship game, which they would host the following week, but I seriously doubt it. You're talking about a team that should have beaten the Patriots in the Super Bowl last year, so...
Yeah, all they had to do was run the ball a little bit.
Or just
not get sacked.
Apparently kneel it out.
Yeah.
They could have mathematically.
They could have kneeled the entire half out.
And still won the game, apparently. So.
Yeah, anyway.
Anyway.
Liz, love you. Thanks for stopping in again, classing up the joint. Hopefully we do better than Lyle this week. Have a little catching
up.
I'm
sure you will.
I'm sure she will. I don't know about me.
Yep.
I was talking to her, Kevin.
We'll try to play some catch up. And can I ask your listeners, so I'm going to be at the Super Bowl, not the actual game, but Media Week.
Okay.
No, I'm not going to the actual game. I'm going to Media Week. But I'd love to hear from your listeners content ideas, stuff they'd like to see, because I want to use this opportunity to do cool stuff. And, you know, there's a lot, like, I've never been to Minnesota. The Mall of America is there. It's obviously cold. There's some crazy Viking festival going on, like a carnival going on. There's tons of personalities. So if anyone wants to tweet at me at @LizLoza_FF and tell me what you'd like to see in terms of content, I'm happy to take it to my producers if it makes sense and see if we can get some stuff going. And no, that does not include, like, coming to the Super Bowl with me.
I see.
Damn it. I was just going to
ask. Liz, I have two words for you. Ice fishing. Let's get it done.
That is something that's on the docket, actually.
Nice.
Please do that.
That's a potential idea.
Yeah, I don't understand. They drag little cabins onto the ice.
They drill a hole.
They build fires on the ice.
Yeah, apparently it's not that cold inside.
Yeah, because they have a fire going in there on the ice that they're sitting on.
Yeah.
So yeah, I look forward to that. So this is going to be all over Yahoo. These images. Right?
Now I'm excited.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have to take a look at that. So yeah, listeners, please hook Liz up with some content ideas, and please be respectful when you tell her what you'd like her to do there.
Yeah,
let's
come
not
on,
be
guys.
A-holes.
Yeah, let's not.
Let Lyle and I do that.
That's our
role to be total deeks. All right, Liz. Thanks a bunch for classing up the joint. I would say good luck, but I don't mean it. So I'll just leave that part out.
Just 1 point behind Lyle. I'm coming for you.
All right, fair enough.
All right, Liz, talk next
week.
All
right, have a good one, guys. Talk to you next week.
Sounds great.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks, bye. Liz.
It's always beautiful having her aboard. Abroad, if you will.
That's disrespectful right there.
Is it?
Calling her abroad?
I said she was abroad, aboard.
Aboard?
Yeah, she's aboard. Abroad.
Yeah, but two different meanings.
Oh, I don't know.
What is this, the 60s? All right. So let's take a look at these games, dude.
I wasn't saying she was abroad.
I know. Relax, man.
She is technically abroad, but, you know, not abroad.
What?
Abroad.
What are you talking about, dude?
Aboard. She's on.
Keep digging, bro.
She's aboard.
Keep digging. Okay, so let's take a look at these games a little more in depth than we did before. Some we could probably do that we didn't do last week in a way to talk about this. So let's look at the quarterbacks, okay? We're going to see which team has the advantage all the way down position-wise.
Atlanta.
Atlanta has the quarterback advantage
against
the Eagles.
No, I'm done. I'm finished.
Right. So then you're talking about Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman against LeGarrette Blount and Jay Ajayi.
Atlanta.
Atlanta has the thing there. So looking at tight ends, I think.
All right. I'll go with Zach Ertz.
I think Zach Ertz has the lead there against, Austin Hooper.
Yeah.
I'll take that. And let's see. Finally, we've got Julio Jones and Mohamed Sanu versus Alshon Jeffrey and Torrey Smith, Nelson Agholor.
That's kind of, I don't know.
Atlanta. Yeah, it's Atlanta. And defense. I think Philadelphia's got the defense.
By far. And probably special teams, too.
And probably special teams as well. Yeah. So, and the reason that everybody's picking the Falcons to beat Philadelphia is because of those big offensive stats. All right, this is going to be just as lopsided. Let's take a look here. We got New England at Tennessee. So you got Tom Brady, Marcus Mariota. I think it's going to go with the GOAT there. Just saying.
Brady threw for 45-77 and 32 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And there is talk of other people being the MVP.
Yeah, I know.
What?
Right. Well, Todd Gurley.
Shut up.
Yeah. It's got to be Brady.
It's got to be.
Let's see. Looking at the running backs here, so you got Deion Lewis and Mike Gillisley versus Derrick Henry.
Here's the thing. The numbers suggest New England, but I actually think Henry is by far more talented than anybody. He's the leading rusher Oklahoma all time.
Yeah, it's I don't think it's a matter of talent. I think it's a matter of importance.
Alabama.
Right, importance to the team.
I know.
Right, I think Deion Lewis, has his moments, and Mike Gillisley has his moments, but I think Derrick Henry is the key. If the Titans are even going to keep it close,
it's
going to be Derrick Henry doing it.
Henry's got to blow him up.
Right. He's going to have to, get yards after contact, and he's going to have to keep Tom Brady on the bench.
Yeah.
If there's going to be a shot for the Titans. Mm-hmm. So, it's not a matter of who's better. It's just who's going to be more important. I think that the check mark goes to the Titans there. So looking at receiving, Rob Gronkowski versus Delanie Walker. Love Delanie Walker.
Walker's a very talented tight end. Actually, has more catches than Gronk, but Gronk he's the leading receiver on the Patriots, has 1,084 yards.
Leading touchdown receiver.
Average 15.7 per catch.
Which is second on the team to Brandon Brooks.
To Brandon Cooks.
Brandon Cooks.
And 8 TDs versus Delanie Walker's 3. It's very clear that he's the best tight end in the league, not to mention the game.
Oh, so you got Brandon Cooks, Chris Hogan, Danny Amendola versus Rishard Matthews, Eric Decker, Corey Davis.
Yeah.
It's obvious the Patriots have it here, but these receivers, you don't know which one it's going to be. I mean, Cooks has a 1,000-yard season with 7 TDs, but it didn't seem to me that he was a standout week-to-week consistent player that you could count on.
He wasn't, but he was a awesome flex.
Yeah, but conversely, none of the Tennessee Titans.
Rishard Matthews was okay in a PPR.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So defensively, the Patriots started out the year giving up, hundreds and hundreds of yards and touchdowns to every defense they faced.
They got better.
Tightened it up a bit. Patricia, did the deal. And actually, he's probably the front runner for the Giants job at this point. Yeah. And looking at Tennessee, they have Dick LeBeau. And I tweeted out on last weekend about I've heard the name Dick LeBeau more times in this 3 hours of this game than I have in the entire rest of my life combined. Because every time it was like, LeBeau dials up a blitz. It's like, did he really? Can't you just say, the Titans are blitzing? Why does it have to be LeBeau dialed up the blitz?
He dialed it up.
Yeah. Anyway, so I think the defense actually goes to Tennessee on this one, but it's close.
Yeah.
You agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's close. So Jacksonville, Pittsburgh. This one's actually not interesting at all. So, obviously, Ben Roethlisberger gets the check mark against Blake Bortles.
Sure.
Even though Blake Bortles is undefeated in the playoffs, Ben Roethlisberger cannot say that.
That is correct.
Looking at the running backs, Lev Bell, Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, it's Leonard Bell. Fournette's probably going to be great at some point. They're the same, roughly, in terms of average and in terms of touchdowns. Exactly the same, 9 each.
Well, you got to also look at Bell also has about 53, 54 more carries.
And got
a couple hundred more yards. So, maybe, like you said, per carry yardage is 3.9 versus 4. So
the difference is that Bell also caught 85 passes.
Yeah, that doesn't hurt.
for another 655 and two touchdowns. So
yeah,
there's the big difference.
So that's the thing. When you look at a guy like Bell and people start talking about Gurley for MVP,
yeah.
I go, Gurley had a really nice season because he also put out, you know, really nice receiving numbers. He did.
Yeah.
But compare 85 and 655 and a couple touchdowns is wide receiver two numbers.
You're talking about 1,800 total yards.
Yeah.
Right? Right. 11 touchdowns.
It's numbers like this that made, you know, the Johnson kid in Arizona the number one pick last year was wide receiver two numbers and RB one numbers.
Yeah.
How can you go wrong?
You really can. Dude, 85 catches?
That's crazy. In a PPR? Good God, that's a league
321
winner.
Carries, 85 catches. 400 touches.
You have to wonder, can he keep that up?
400 touches in a season.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
It's an awful lot.
Yeah.
It's getting hit a bunch. So, looking at the receivers, you know, you're looking at Antonio Brown, and no matter who you say on the Jacksonville side, it's going to be the, you know. And then you add in Martavis Bryant, who caught 50 balls, and Juju Smith, who caught 58 balls, 10 touchdowns between those guys.
Silly.
So, obviously, the you know, every check mark here, except for defense, really, goes to the Steelers.
Except for defense.
Except for defense. And that's got to be with Jacksonville. They're, you know, top three, top two defense. Mm-hmm. Steelers, no, not shabby, to be sure. But, you know, Jacksonville, the reason they're here is that their defense brought them here. So, okay, so now it gets interesting. So, looking at the Saints versus the Minnesota Vikings, the quarterback check mark strongly and firmly in Drew Brees' side. Case Keenum's had a nice season, 22 TDs. Just one less than Brees, you know, way fewer yards, you know, way fewer completions as well. Keenum's had a nice season, but Brees can take over a game as we've seen.
Correct.
So looking at the running backs, obviously the check mark comes again firmly into the Saints side with Ingram and Kamara. Latavius Murray has had a nice season, 8 TDs, 842 yards.
Mm-hmm.
McKinnon's had an okay season, 3 TDs, 570 yards. And he's also caught 50 passes for 421 and 2 TDs. So as Liz says, if the Vikings are going to win, McKinnon's going to have to get involved early and often. So either way, check mark on the Saints side for running backs. Here's where it gets a little iffy. I'll be curious to see what you think here about the receivers. So you got Michael Thomas, Ted Ginn on one side, and then you got Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs on the other side.
Well, here's the problem with what you just said. You have Michael Thomas and Ted Ginn on one side. So Michael Thomas and Adam Thielen, pretty close. Thielen, 91 catches for 1,276, 4 TDs. Thomas was 104 for 1,245. 5 TDs, right?
Right.
Fairly close. Then you go the next one, Stephon Diggs, 64 for 849. The next one for the Saints is not Ted Ginn. It's Alvin Kamara.
Right.
Who caught 81 passes for 826 and 5 touchdowns.
That's borderline similar WR1 numbers.
Similar numbers, kind of, to Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
He had 3 less touchdowns, but way more catches. And just a few less yards. So it's not really Ted Ginn.
Yeah.
It's Alvin Kamara,
yeah.
kind of. So, you know, I hear you, what you're saying. But, you know, honestly, you cannot. And, dude, Ingram caught 58 passes.
It's only
too.
6 fewer than Diggs caught.
Yeah, for another 416 yards. So these backs, if you put them together as a wide receiver, I'm going to put the check mark in the New Orleans category for receiver as well. I love Thielen. I love Diggs. Kyle Rudolph is clearly a superior tight end, so I'll give them the check mark there.
Yeah.
McKinnon's not a bad receiver, so I get that. But I'm just saying, if we're talking about catching footballs, Saints have that too.
It ain't purple this week.
The problem is
that defense.
The defense is by far, it could not be further pegged
to the Minnesota
side. So that's the issue.
Young James Boy producer and I the other day were arguing Jacksonville's defense versus the Vikings defense.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Vikings tend to be more run stout, whereas the Jacksonville Jaguars tend to be more pass stout.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Wait a minute. I thought it was the other way. Oh, no. Yeah, you got it right.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Vikings run, Jacksonville pass.
Yep.
So, you know, which has the better, you know, statistically it's the Vikings, but I think Jacksonville's right behind them. I think that, you know, looking at the Saints, I think Minnesota matches up with them pretty well. Until you start throwing the football to these running backs.
Yeah. That's when it gets weird.
Right. Now, that's one thing that has happened in the past. If you remember last year when the Falcons went to the Super Bowl, if we can jump back to that game, where Freeman and Coleman were pass catchers.
Yeah.
Sarkisian doesn't do that with those guys.
Yeah.
So that element of their game is basically gone.
Yeah.
Coleman catches a few more than Freeman, but it's only four or five a game. Whereas last year, you know, they get 10, 12 catches a game between the two of them.
Sure.
So, you know, I think once you start whittling these teams down, these pass-catching running backs are really going to be the difference. And I think it could be the difference in this game, even though I picked the Vikings to win.
I was about to look, yeah.
Yeah, I picked the Vikings to win, but, you know, like I said, I could flip-flop two or three times between now and
this is
game time.
This is a tough one to call.
Yeah.
I mean, last time the Vikings won by 10.
See, now I'm looking at Alvin Kamara with wide receiver, borderline wide receiver one numbers. I'm like, maybe I want to go change that pick.
Pretty close. You can't change it. You already announced it.
Damn it.
It's official.
It's official.
It's official.
No, it dude, it's written in ones and zeros. It's right here on my laptop.
No, I have it written down, so it's over. You can't change your pick.
Sure I can.
We did it officially on... No. No, you cannot. You had your chance. You could have thought about it all the way up to this moment.
I did.
And now it's over. You made your pick. Stick with it.
Nobody will remember this come next Wednesday.
I wrote it down, so...
You going to take that with you?
I am now.
Stick it to your chest. So,
all right,
there
bitches.
You have it.
Yeah.
So I think we got, I don't know, 18 or 19 players in the Money League.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah.
Bummer.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah, you guys suck. Well, that's still $200.
It's not like either of us are going to win it.
No,
you know?
Probably not.
Yeah. Let's ride. We're not winning it.
Somebody will, though. Take our money.
We do give money on the regular.
I mean, I'm just telling you guys, nothing quite folds up in your pocket like money from Kevin's pocket.
See,
this feels right.
Conversely, nothing folds up better in my pocket than money out of Lyle's pocket. When Lyle gives me money, like he did, he paid off his at the end of it, I was $5 up. He handed me cash.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you. I got a little stiff nip there when he did it.
Yeah.
Just a small one.
I carry the first $5 bet you lost to me in my wallet all the time.
Do you really?
Yeah.
You lie. It's show there. It to me. Show me the Finsky. And don't pull it out of your regular money part.
Regular thing, sure, I got my wallet,
didn't I? Oh, hold it up so I can see it. Okay.
It's in here.
That's a single.
It's a single.
That's where all your money is. That's BS. All right, he was lying. He was lying.
I knew I had a five in there. God damn it.
So you were lying.
Yes, I was. But it would have been amazing if I pulled a five.
It would have been great. If I had signed it, it would have been great. I still have a picture of my nephew Jesse handing me a $5 bill that he lost. And I keep that with me. And every Super Bowl that he comes over, I show him that picture and ask him if he'd like to have a shot at winning it back.
Oh, yeah?
He declines.
Every time?
Every time. He wants no part of it.
That would have been amazing. If I thought I had a five.
If you pulled out a folded five with my initials stamped on it.
We wouldn't have had your initials, but if I'd have pulled it out of my wallet.
Well, that's why I wanted to see where you took it from. If you took it out of your regular money place, it's not going to matter. I want it like enshrined in its own little, you know, clear plastic window.
All right.
All right. All right, bitches, we're out. Enjoy your weekend of football. Hopefully the Birds will be winning and we'll be happy next Wednesday. If they don't win, we're
going to
be some dour bastards. You can believe that.
They won't win. We should all commit suicide and everything's over and life is bleak.
Call your suicide hotline now if you are feeling depressed. They help. They
this
will
is
help.
The life of an Eagles fan.
Yeah,
it's what we do.
Somebody wrote about how the Falcons were a little downtrodden too, and I was like, you know what? But screw them.
Yeah,
they were at the Super Bowl last year.
They should have won it.
Did they win it? No, they didn't.
Maybe
but
they
were
should've.
There. Last time the Eagles were in the Super Bowl was like 15 years ago.
No,
8 years ago. No, 13 years ago.
2005, right?
That was 2004 season. 2005.
2005.
So 12 years. It's been a long time. So
it's going to go ahead and be 13, but okay. I'll allow that your poor math.
Well, it's the season versus the year the Super Bowl's played. It's
dude, different. There was a freaking Cowboys fan in front of me just jabber-jawing on the last game. Just, the Eagles, won all these championships. And I went, dude, the last time you won a Super Bowl was over 20 years ago. get over it.
Yeah.
Like, you haven't done anything lately. So.
Yeah, let's talk about playoffs since, you know, since 96.
Yeah. Your best quarterback is in a booth right now.
Still.
Still. He was like, huh, you're right. Huh. Yeah.
Yeah, when presented with facts, they have to buckle. All right, we've talked through the outro.
The whole song.
That's okay.
Cowboys fans.
We haven't done it in a while.
Dying of fire. Get murdered in the face. Love you, mean it.
Bye, bitches. Have a day.